As we stand, let me just pray for us. Father God, thank you that you speak to us through your word. We pray that you would speak to us now, to our hearts and our minds, that we might live as those who know and love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do have a seat. And thank you, Linda, for reading the Bible for us this morning. You may want to grab hold of a Bible if it's near you. We're looking at those verses from Matthew chapter 6, and it's on page 5 of the New Testament part of our pew Bibles. And this morning we're continuing our series, looking at what it means to live for Jesus on our front lines, our frontline Sundays. If you've been here in recent weeks, you may remember, we've thought about how Christians are called to make all the difference in the world, in all the places where God leads us. And that we're to do that wherever we are and whatever we do. If you were here, a week ago, you remember your pencil. Remember, wherever you are led, there is a point. I know it's cheesy, but you'll remember it. That's our call, to live for Jesus wherever we are. And I wonder, just let's take a pause for a moment. I wonder how you feel about all this so far, as I stand up to say yet more in that series. Is it starting to feel as though this idea of living for Jesus and witnessing to him on your front line, is that starting to feel like a bit of a weight of expectation? Do you feel that there is Gareth or Andrew standing at the front again with that stick to beat us with once again, I'm not doing enough to live for Jesus? Because, let me be honest, I know I wear one of these, but I get frightened doing it. It's scary sometimes to stand up and stand out for Jesus. And it's easy to feel guilt when I don't do those things. It can be lonely to be the only Christian. The only Christian in your workplace, in your group of mates, in your social group, in your street, in your school, in your family. It can be lonely to be the only Christian, and it can be hard to witness to Jesus. So how on earth can we do this when we're on our own? When we leave the comfort of church behind, where we're surrounded by people who think and behave and believe in ways very similar to us, how can we stand up and stand out for Jesus on our front lines when we're out there on our own? You can't. You can't do it on your own. That's the bad news. The good news is you never are on your own. You are never on your own on your front line. However lonely it may feel, Jesus has promised that he is with us always to the end of the age. You are never on your own on your front line. And part of what Jesus does for us is he's given us a prayer to pray for help day by day on our front lines. That's what we're looking at this morning there in Matthew chapter 6. And now I know that this is a prayer that you are very familiar with. I was sort of trying to work out how many times in an average week, even if I don't pray on my own, how many times I'd end up saying this, because we say it twice during evensong, twice during morning prayer. We say it on the Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock. How many times have we said this prayer? Could you say it with your eyes shut? Could you say it, you know, without thinking? It's probably robbed, some of its power has been robbed from us by that familiarity. And so this morning, I'm not going to look at the whole prayer, but I want us just to see a couple of things that perhaps we've forgotten about it. I want us to notice a couple of things together. Particularly, I want to dwell for a few minutes on those opening words. You know, the ones that you sort of miss because it's only by about word 3 that we're all saying them together. They're so familiar, it's easy to forget how startling they are. Our Father in heaven. Just imagine for a moment, in the post tomorrow, you get an invitation to Buckingham Palace. It's a slightly urgent one, so you get in the car, you drive to London, the gates of Buckingham Palace open for you, you drive in, you park on that beautiful gravel, You go inside, up the stairs, and you are walking along the corridor, and your feet are sinking into that beautiful wine-red carpet. And you are surrounded by gilt-framed mirrors and pictures of old masters. And you turn a corner into this magnificent banqueting hall, and there, sitting in the middle, on a throne, in full glory and splendor, with state crown on her head, surrounded by her entourage, is the Queen. What's the first thing you say? Okay, what's the first thing you say that you're prepared to repeat in church? I mean, do you kneel? Do you bow? Do you say, Your Majesty? Or do you walk over, give her a big hug, and say, Hello, Mum? Of course you can't do that, can you? You can't do that to the Queen because she's the Queen and you're not part of the royal family. You can't do that. You're not allowed. You have to be a member of the family in order to treat the Queen like that, in order to be that intimate. Now look back at that prayer. Our Father. God gives you permission to call him Father. It's an invitation into membership of the royal family of the universe. It's a recognition, Jesus looking ahead, knowing that by his death on the cross, he will make it possible for sinners and rebels like you and I to be adopted by God rather than have to face his judgment. To be invited in and made part of the royal family so that we can look at God and say, Father. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it shouldn't make us arrogant. We're in the family not because of anything we've done, but because of what he has done. And it's not my father, it's our father. Don't ever look down on a fellow Christian, because you should remember what Father thinks of them. And calling God our Father isn't about being over chummy either. It's not showing the king less respect than he's due. It's a kind of love and intimacy which actually increases our respect for who God is. You can see that from the way that the prayer continues. Let me read to you the rest of verse 9 and verse 10. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. The very first things that Jesus teaches Christians to pray are all concerned with God. They're all concerned with God. As Christians, we should care that our Father's name is honoured by us and by others. And that means that we don't want his name, either the word or the association with it, we don't want that cheapened or misused. We don't want it to become a swear word or a joke. We don't want it dragged through the mud by scandal and wrongdoing by Christians. Christian leaders perhaps particularly, but all Christians. We don't want that to happen to God's name. We want it to be honoured. And those things will affect the way that we speak, the way that we behave on our front lines as we stand up and stand out for Jesus. And can I say, I'm going to advise us that firstly, before we go about complaining about the way other people use God's name, let our first instinct to be, how do we make sure that we are honouring God's name in the way that we carry it around on our backs? Can people look at us and see that we honour God's name? That we want his reputation to be high. And we want his kingdom to come. That means at least two things, I think. The kingdom of God is where his kingly rule is acknowledged and seen. And partly that means that we want to stand up for the values of the king. For generosity. For justice and mercy. For kindness. A concern for the most vulnerable and excluded. So heartbeat all through the prophets of the Old Testament. For compassion and honesty, for selflessness, for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We want to stand up for these things and see them flourish in the world around us, because they are the values of the King, our Father. And with his help, we will stand up for them. We will seek to practice them. And lovingly, we will call on others to do the same. And that's one way that we want to see his kingdom come. But I think there's a danger that we can ask people, indeed expect people, to behave in a kingdom way without ever introducing them to the King. We expect people to behave as though they belong in the kingdom when they don't know who the King is. In other words, we look at the world and we think what it needs most of all is better ethics. Actually, what it needs is a saviour. You remember the angels at Christmas? To you this day is born in the town of David a great moral teacher. No. Not a great moral teacher. To you is born this day in the city of David a saviour. And ultimately, we can't expect people to live as citizens of the kingdom if they don't know the King. So often our instinct is that we want to go out and reform wayward people. What Jesus wants to do is bring dead people to life. And that's very different. Now, it is good to reform. It's good to seek reform in our cultures and schools and businesses and towns and governments and international relations. It is good. It is a God thing to seek reform in all these things. It acts in the way that reflects the values of our King and Father. And it's good to call on others to do the same. I'm not saying we shouldn't do these things. But what really brings change is not us imposing values of the kingdom on those who are outside it. It's often easier, but that's not our highest goal. What really brings change is when more and more people come to know the King for themselves. And then they want to live as citizens of the kingdom and as members of the royal family. Then his will be done as it is in heaven. And for that to happen, our friends and our neighbours, our colleagues and our families need to hear about the King. They need to hear why he means so much to us. My dear friends, we have to open our mouths. We have to open our mouths. We have to speak of him if we want to see his kingdom come. But let's remember, as we do that, as you do that, you are never, ever alone. You are always a royal child. At your best and at your worst, when you're doing this really well, and when you stuff it up entirely, because whenever you seek the King's honour, you have the King's full backing. Whenever you seek the King's honour, you have the King's full backing. Whenever you work and speak and pray for the growth of the kingdom, the King works in you and through you and with you. Because you are his child, and he is your father, and he will not leave you to do this on your own. I hope you can see every single Christian believer can take comfort from this, confidence from this. Now, I think this is one of the most powerful things that the New Testament has to say about Christians, that we are children of our Heavenly Father. Although it's not the only one, though. And to help us explore some of the other ways that the Bible gives us confidence to stand up and stand out for Jesus, we have something else to give to you this week. You'll get one as you go out. There's a postcard which has got a list of some of the names that the New Testament uses to describe Christians, to describe those who know and follow Jesus. And I want to suggest maybe after the service, if you're hanging around for a cup of coffee, and why wouldn't you, why not look at that postcard? Why not think, what are the names on there that really resonate with you? What's the name that you need to remember that you are this week? Is there one that perhaps is a bit strange or you struggle with? Why not, over that conversation that you have at coffee time, as well as finding out what that other person's been doing this week, why not ask them which name on here really helps them? Tell them which name really helps you. And then take it home and put it somewhere you can see it, somewhere it will encourage you on your front lines, maybe just by the front door as you go out in the morning, maybe on your desk, maybe on your bathroom mirror. Somewhere it will encourage you and remind you that on your front line, you are never alone, because your Father is with you. And whenever you seek the King's honour, the King is with you. Let's pray for a moment. God, what a privilege it is to call you Father. I pray, Father, that we would really take that to heart this week. Help that enormous privilege, that enormous encouragement sink into our hearts this morning and stay with us this week. Help us to know how to open our mouths and speak of you. And however that goes, Lord, help us to know that you are with us always to the end of the age. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.